Welcome to this episode of MC Forward, a podcast that focuses on Montgomery College individuals who are leading from where they are. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Mills. Joining me today is Antonio Vidal, Data Coordinator for the Adult English for Speakers of Other Languages and Literacy Grant Program in Workforce Development and Continuing Education. Antonio, I appreciate you joining me today. Thanks.
Yeah, good morning, Mike, for inviting me. It is a pleasure for me to be here with you and share, you know, my experience and my thoughts about leadership. And I hope that it helps others in the same journey. Okay.
So speaking of journeys, you've had an interesting one. You came to this country from Venezuela. Talk a little bit about your journey and how you ended up at Montgomery College.
Okay, I came to the United States on February 25th, 1998, after working in one of the, at Sony of Venezuela, and also at one of the biggest chain of supermarkets or grocery stores in Venezuela. So I decided to come because I had an interview that could be taken easily into an advertising of an English school, in which I was called to talk to the general sales manager. And when they interviewed me, they called me and said, "Mr. Vidal, the interview is going to be in English." He said, "What?" "Yes, it's in English. Don't you speak English?" I said, "No, I don't. Nobody told me anything." So they told me, "Well, Mr. Vidal, we are going to call you." I am still waiting for the call. I knew they were not going to call me. So the interview was with 3M, one of the best industries in Venezuela at that time. So I decided to come to the United States and to study English. So I came with the idea that everybody, you know, shared over there saying, "Come on, Antonio, you go to the United States and in 6 months you would be 100% bilingual." So I came here, and at the fourth month, I realized that I wasn't going to be close to be bilingual. I mean, I have been here for almost 25 years. I still am not. So, I started my English classes as a tourist. Then the school offered me the possibility to apply for the F1 visa, which I did. When I was ready to go, the school offered me the possibility to hire me as an H1 worker. And I said, "Well, I can stay with you, but only if, as you said, you hire me legally." So I started working for the school and also taking some TOEFL classes. And my experience took me to be the school designated official of the INS. Now it is the Bureau of Citizenship and Naturalization Services. Then, with the interaction with the students wanted to transfer to Montgomery College. I had the opportunity to talk to Marlon Vallejo several times. And I talked to myself, I said, "I have to work in Montgomery College one day." So my goal was to work at Montgomery College. I did apply to a position in 2000, 2001. It was an international position at International Position Coordinator at Tacoma Park. I went to the interview and I wasn't selected, but I didn't stop with my hope to get into Montgomery College. So one day I was working in a bagel store in Frederick. Yes, I was the supervisor and, you know, the baker and everything. So I had a 100 mile commute every day. So one of my friends called me and said, "Antonio, I just had an interview with my supervisor, and she is very interested in talking to you." I said, "Okay, but when can I go?" He said, "Right now." And I remember that I was driving down from Frederick to Arlington, and I said, "Come on, I am full of flowers everywhere. I am not going to go to an interview like that. So he said, okay, Antonio, just get ready, you know, and maybe one of these days we interview. And I started on March 2nd, 2005. You know, they told me, Antonio, this is your computer. This is going to be the room. I believe the password for the computer is the word password. And please forgive us, you know, it is a little dust here and there. So I started my journey with a program that I love, that has given me all what I am right now in the US. If there is a dream, you know, an American dream, I can tell you, Mike, that this dream was facilitated to me by Montgomery College and the work that I have been doing with the college for the students and to all of the immigrants that we serve.
I absolutely love that story. And you have shared that with me several times. And each time it brings me chills, I get goosebumps over it because of your perseverance, your determination. Talk a little bit about how that determination has led you to view what kind of leader you are, because it takes great leadership, I think, just to say, look, I'm packing up. I'm leaving my home country to go to another country. That's special. That's special determination, Antonio.
Yes. Well, let me just tell you, I didn't know that I was going to be here. I came here for 4 months. Then when I realized that I couldn't go back and say, hey, you know, I am fully bilingual and saying I do speak English more or less, it was not going to help me there. So I said, no, I cannot go back. And then, you know, things were happening step by step. I got into an apartment without knowing how. You know, sometimes I think that I told you this, it came from heaven. You know, I remember that I applied for a co-op and, you know, they told me, well, you know, in order to apply for the co-op, you need to be a permanent resident and you haven't shown your green card. And he said, no, I cannot show you my green card because I do have a work permit. I am an H-1 visa holder. So he said, well, we cannot give you the loan or the mortgage because you are not a permanent resident. And unless you give us 30% down, 30% down in 1999, you know, meant $12,000. And making $10 an hour just to be able to save $12,000 in less than a year was not possible. My supervisor at that time called the bank and said, hey, do you accept gift letters? And the bank said, yes, we do. Okay. He took his personal checkbook, wrote me a $12,000 check and said, Antonio, go and buy the apartment. Pay me whenever you want. And by the way, I won't charge you any interest for that. So it took me to my first leadership experience, which is a compassionate experience. I would call it a friend leadership. You know, my supervisor at the time helped me not only with my English, but when someone comes to learn a new language, many people think that it is a process of learning the language. No, it is not only the process of learning the language. It is also the process of learning the culture of the country in which you are. I had very hard times. You know, in Venezuela, we hug everybody, we kiss everybody at work. For us, it's an open environment. Here, the first phrasal verb I learned was put down, put it down. The second one was back off. You know, so, you know, for me, it was very difficult to adapt to all of that. Remember, I came here when I was 38, and I had already a life in Venezuela. So, but I went step by step with all of, you know, the leaders that I had. I had, you know, my friend Dan Katz, you know, who was my first supervisor. Then I have another leader that was very nice, but where she was autocratic. She was the kind of person that when I made mistakes told me, Antonio, you must have had a senior moment. So, and of course, you know, I was like, senior moment, what is this? Senior moment. I was learning. So, and every time I talked to somebody about senior moment, people told me, she shouldn't have told you that. Okay, so, but she told me that. But, you know, besides all of these things, I can tell that she had helped me a lot because she also extended my H-1 visa. I did give a lot to that school too. It was an English school, a nonprofit organization in Washington, D.C., and I worked for them for 7 years before coming to the college after having a previous experience with the bagel store that I told you in Frederick. And then I came to the college scared because I am a civil engineer. I was never a data coordinator, but a civil engineer, what I thought was, okay, Antonio, the first you need to do is learn how to work with SQL. So I took classes at the college with all of the possible things and programs that involves databases. And of course I did it at Montgomery College and I prepared myself. So it has been a long way, a long journey since I started here and I see myself today. But I can tell you, Mike, and I can tell everyone that it has been a wonderful journey in which I have had wonderful coworkers, not so wonderful coworkers, but love as well. And also people who have helped me, people who had taught me. I think that I should mention one of the best leaders that I have found hasn't been my supervisor, but I think that I need to mention here is Cynthia Morris. I did have an excellent, excellent experience. I was part of the 20th LDI, and all of the leadership that I know, all of the theory and all of the thoughts that involve leadership, I learned them from her LDI, and she does a very wonderful job. My current supervisor, Emma Wilson, my former supervisor, Donna Conerny, the three of them have done an excellent work. Each of them with their style, because each of them has, you know, a different style, but we have formed a wonderful team together. And I have tried during this time to take all my experience from Venezuela, because I was a general sales manager, then a general operation manager, as you see, nothing related to education, okay? But I have brought this into my employees, and I call my employees because I feel them as part of me, not because I feel ownership, but I feel them as part of me.
So Antonio, as you take those experiences that you talked about, the bagel shop, you're getting the apartment, and your experience with the college's LDI program, how would you sum up your leadership style as a result of all those experiences?
Okay, I would say that leadership is not a theory that you learn and you apply it exactly as it should be. I would say that all of my experience has taught me that there are moments in which you should move from one style to another. I do remember in one of the LDI classes, someone that said, you know, if you have applied all of your leadership techniques and nothing worked, there is a moment for you to apply your dictator leadership. So, of course, there are things, there are moments in which you should sit with your people and talk to your people and show what you are able to do, and more importantly, what they are able to do. Because the first thing you need to show your people is you are able to do this. Because if I was able to do it, you are able to do it as well. So this is more or less what I try to practice every day, you know, giving a positive message, listening to what they have to say, taking criticism when that happens or when that is needed, defending my position when I have to defend my position. I definitely believe in what I do, and unless you show me that what I'm doing is not the right way to go, I will, you know, keep doing what I do. Of course, I do respect my supervisors, and I do respect the chief of command, but I think that it is important. The most important thing about leadership is value the people that you have under you.
Where do you see yourself growing in your leadership journey from here on out?
Well, to be honest with you, Mike, I see my retirement about 4 or 5 years away. So if I enjoy good health until then, my dream is going to help immigrants at the hospital. You know, I did have a surgery a year and a half ago. You know, I went to a procedure and suddenly they told me, Mr. Antonio, you have an aneurysm in your artery, in your aorta artery, and you need surgery. And since you said that your grandpa died because of that, you need to have the surgery in a month. So I had surgery on May 20, 2021. And going through that process teaches you, hey, you know, I'm not going to be here all the time. So something may happen. But as I told you, if I enjoy good health, what I would like to do is help those immigrants. I went through those hospitals and I see people that were not able to be helped because they don't have the language skills. And I always tell my wife that I would like to work as a volunteer, you know, being able to help those that don't know how to express themselves.
Well, my friend, you are such an inspiration to me. I absolutely love having conversations with you. I come away from every conversation inspired as to what I can do because of what you have done. And I just cannot thank you enough, Antonio, for coming on to this podcast and just sharing your journey with me and your wisdom. You are such an inspiration. So I very, very much appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mike. And I want people to know, and I think that I told you this, I do have a card to show you. And I have been trying to do it, and I always forget the car, but this is a task that I have for you. Look, if I have done it, everyone can do it as well. You know, I haven't had any crowns. I haven't been the son or the daughter of a king. So I came here as an immigrant, and yes, I have played hard. I have worked hard. I have tried to be responsible. I do remember that when I had the surgery, it was close to the fiscal year, and I told my supervisor, I am going to be here at the end of June to close the fiscal year. Don't worry that I will be. And 3 weeks after the surgery, I asked for permission to my doctor to work at least part-time. And he gave me permission. And in July, I was working from home full-time. So with effort, with hard work, with responsibility, with a little bit of enthusiasm, because the enthusiasm is needed, I call my corner in the office the happy corner, because we are always laughing and having a joke or having something to laugh about that. Because laugh is free. No, you don't have to pay for that. So doing that, you will succeed, because no one can look, you know, away from you when you have all of these, you know, features, all of these, and you act in this way. Mm-hmm.
My friend, be well. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Thank you.
If you know someone who you think would be a great fit for this podcast, have them reach out to me at michael.mills@montgomerycollege.edu. Meanwhile, keep moving MC forward.